Shalom and welcome to Chazak Ve'Amatz, Be Strong and Very Courageous. My name is David Oakes, pastor of the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and founder of David Oakes Ministries and Israel Study Tours with David Oakes. Join me once again for the next 30 minutes as we study the Word of God together concerning the end times and living successful lives in these end times. Well, we've received word that many of you are listening every week since we came on the air, and we praise the Lord for that. And we just pray that we have been a blessing to you, and we just pray that you will sit back with your Bible today and get a writing utensil, a pen or a pencil, and a piece of paper, and take some notes. Because we want you to know and have something that you can refer back to at a later date that will bring this information back to your recollection. Glory to God. This is Pastor David Oakes, remember, and we have been speaking on Israel and the restoration of the nation of Israel over the past few weeks. We looked into Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, and we found that one of the main curses that would come upon the house of Israel, if they were disobedient to the commands of God, would be that they would be scattered to the uttermost parts of the earth. But God said in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, that when their minds and their hearts returned back to God, that something magnificent would happen, that God would go to the uttermost parts even of heaven if he could find Jews there, and he would pluck them and plant them once again in the land of Israel. And so we have spent several weeks going through the scriptures showing that the land of Israel belongs to the Jewish people. And not only does it belong to the Jewish people, but glory be unto God, it's theirs for an everlasting covenant. Now, we have been through what the prophets of old have said. We're not going to depart the prophets of old totally, but we're going to go into the New Testament, and we're going to look at what Jesus said concerning the restoration of the nation of Israel and what information that we as believers and as participants in this life on this earth can gain. There is information that God is giving us through the reestablishment of the nation of Israel. Now, we have read this scripture here, this passage of scripture a few times, but we're going to read it again. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, it says, "The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times?" Now notice this. Jesus said that you can go outside and you can look at the sky and you can tell things that are getting ready to take place in the weather. But he says, you're hypocrites because you're not able to look at what's taking place around you and tell the signs of the times to see what's going to take place now. Well, God is giving us signs in this earth and the happenings of this earth that are pronouncing to us boldly and quite clearly that the end is upon us and that the Jesus, the Messiah, is coming back. And he's going to come into the clouds and call the church of the Lord Jesus Christ unto himself. And then 7 years later, there's going to be a dynamic happening on this earth. God is going to establish the throne of the Messiah in Jerusalem on Temple Mount. And he will rule and reign the earth for 1,000 years from Jerusalem. Now, the signs are showing this way. Now, let's look at some of the signs right now in Matthew 24, and let's see what Jesus has to say. Verse 1, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple." Now, realize that this temple was built by Herod. It was the second temple, and Herod built the temple. Herod died in 4 B.C., but he was known for his architectural and his engineering acumen, if you would. He was known for the great structures that he built around the Holy Land, and the temple was one of his greatest structures, if not his greatest structure. The ancients said that no one had ever seen a beautiful building if they had not seen the temple that Herod had built there in Jerusalem. Herod wanted to get in good favors with the Jewish people, so he built them a temple, and he was a puppet of the Roman government. But notice what it says, "And Jesus went out and departed departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now I want to read that same scripture, same account to you out of Luke's Gospel, verse 21. And it says, And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said. So they were making comment on the beauty of the temple complex. It was a large complex that was able to house many, many people for worship and other activities. Now notice what Jesus said. He said, There shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now Jesus, by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, by being able to look into the Spirit, into the future, what 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, calls the word of wisdom, being able to see what happens in the future and relate it to us in this time period, in the present, Jesus said that there would not be one stone upon another that should not be thrown down. Jesus prophetically, around the year of 30 AD, Jesus was giving forth the information concerning an event that would take place in 70 AD. As we know through archaeological study and historical study, that in 70 AD, the Roman Titus, the commanding officer Titus, came in and he destroyed the temple and burned it and overturned the stones, just as Jesus said. Now he goes on to say in verse 3, And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now notice, his disciples were off with him, and they ask him three distinct questions. Number one, tell us, when shall these things be? When is this overthrowing going to take place? And what shall be the sign of thy coming? And number three, and of the end of the world. They wanted information. They wanted signs that would direct them to the fact that the end was upon the earth and that Jesus was going to return again. So Jesus goes through many things prophetically that he speaks that are going to occur in the earth, and maybe in the future we'll be speaking on some of those things. He gets into the prophecies of Daniel and Daniel the ninth chapter, what is known as Daniel 70 weeks. We'll probably look at that in the future as we continue our study in Bible prophecy. And then in verse 32, he gets into things that are more appropriate for us to study today. Notice what he says, Now learn a parable of the fig tree. Now, I want to read that to you out of the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible is merely another translation of the Greek text in more modern language, and it does exactly what its name implies. It amplifies what the text is saying out of the original Greek. You have to understand that Greek and Hebrew are wonderful languages, and they're a little bit different than English in this fact, that when you speak like a Hebrew word, you get a picture drawn for you. When you speak a Greek word, you get a picture drawn for you. And so in order to have a clearer picture of a translation, one must amplify it, and that's what the Amplified Bible says. Now, we started out today and we sang the song Yevarechecha, one Hebrew word, Yevarechecha, but in Hebrew that means May the Lord bless you. I mean, it takes more than one word in English to translate properly the word Yevarechecha. And so we have that here in the Amplified Bible. If you don't have one, you might get one. It would be okay with the Lord. Now, the Amplified Bible says, From the fig tree, learn its lesson. Now, the Amplified Bible tells us from the fig tree. Now, that implies that they had had some relationship to a fig tree at a previous time, because Jesus is taking their attention back to a fig tree. He says again, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. Well, all you have to do is take your Bible and you can go back, and it's probably, we can go back 1 day, at the most 2 days in the Bible. It's not clear, but 24 hours to 48 hours prior to this, Jesus and the disciples had an encounter with a fig tree. And I believe that he was taking their attention back to that encounter with the fig tree, because he said, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. We know that in another illustrated story in the Bible, in Mark the 11th chapter. It's when Jesus said, whosoever shall say into this tree, whosoever shall say into this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So he took their attention back to this fig tree that he had cursed, because it was bearing no fruit. Now, the fig tree, when it puts on its leaves, it is also putting on fruit. And if it has its leaves and no fruit, then it's not doing what it says that it's doing. Jesus, now notice this, Jesus cursed that fig tree a couple of days earlier. He cursed it because, now get this, because it was being a hypocrite. It was saying that it had fruit and it didn't have fruit. Now, we can read that in chapter 21 of Matthew, just a couple of pages before. And it says, now in the morning in verse 18, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Now Jesus said again, remember, he said in Matthew the chapter 24, he said, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. Now this is what you need to know about Matthew the 21st chapter, verse 19, where we just read from. It said, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. Now that word forever in the Greek text is translated a different way in Ephesians the second chapter. So let's go over to Ephesians the second chapter. I hope that if you're at home, if you're listening in the car and you're driving, please do not read your Bible while you're driving. Keep your mind on the road. But if you're at home, my friends, take your Bibles and turn with me so you can see it with your eyes. If you want to, read it out loud with me, because there's some power that is created when you not only read the word, but when you speak it out your mouth out loud. Now look at chapter 2, verse 7. It says that in the ages to come. Well, let's read up verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's speaking to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Now, notice verse 7, that in the ages. He didn't say just age singular. He said ages in the plural. Now, you get this information now, and you get it and understand it. Life does not end after we die. Oh, no. Life does not end after the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is raptured into heaven to spend eternity in heaven. Life does not end. In fact, that's just not going to be because the end of it, because God says that there are going to be ages. We're living in the dispensation of grace right now, when God is dispensing his grace upon the earth. And that's what makes it possible for us to be born again, because verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And so our salvation comes by this grace through faith, because we are now living in the dispensation of grace. That moment that occurred after Jesus died and was buried and resurrected, and then, glory to God, the Holy Spirit fell in Acts the second chapter, verse 4. And from that time on, we have entered into the church age, this dispensation of grace. But there are going to be other ages after this. And notice what God's going to do in those ages to come, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us. So all through the ages of eternity future, God is going to be blessing us. God is going to be showing us his exceeding riches. And I tell you what, our existence in the future, our life in the future, is going to be glorious, and God is just going to continue to bless us. You know, people talk about all the times that, you know, what are you going to do for eternity? Well, let me tell you what, you're going to be living in eternity one way or the other. You can either live in death or live in life, but you're going to keep existing if you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Your existence will continue. In hell, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, there is going to be a miserable existence for you, not only for a short time period, but for the ages also. But for those of us who have believed in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and we have confessed with our mouth Jesus is Lord, we are going to live for the ages, plural. We are going to go on for the ages. Did you get that? The ages in living glorious light, and something wondrous is going to happen. God is going to show forth to us the exceeding riches of His grace and His exceeding kindness. I mean, kindness is going to be poured out to those of us who have believed in this life on the earth that God hath raised Jesus from the dead. Glory to God, and those of us who have made confession with our lips that Jesus is Lord. But notice that word, that in the ages. Everybody say ages out loud. Ages. Ages is the same Greek word that is translated over there in Matthew, the 21st chapter, verse 19, as the word forever. Did you get that? It is the more normal translation of the word. It is a more accurate translation. Now, notice this. So a more accurate translation over here in Matthew 21 would be, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward for the age to the end of the dispensation. Now, notice this. The more accurate translation would be, I'm cursing you and no more fruit is going to grow on you until the end of this present age, this present dispensation. Same word that's found over in Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 7. So we're going to translate it the same way. Now, did you get that? So he's telling them in Matthew, the 24th chapter, he's telling them once again, my friends, he's saying, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. So what would the lesson be? The lesson would be, because of unfruitfulness, the fig tree was cursed. Because of unfruitfulness, it was caused to wither. And the withering was going to take place for a time period or for an age. And at the end of that age, something else was going to occur. Now notice again, Matthew 24, 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. Now, let's find out what he's talking about when he talks about a fig tree. There are types and shadows the Bible talks about, or there are things that appear in Scripture as a picture, if you would, of something else. And we have that occurrence right here. So, let's look at two scriptures. Number one, Joel, chapter 1. Verse 1, the word of the Lord that came to Joel the son of Pethuel, hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left hath the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut from your mouth. For a nation is come up upon my land. Now he's talking about the nation of Israel in Joel 1, verse 6. He says, for a nation is come up upon my land. Notice what God calls the Holy Land, the land of Israel. God calls it my land. For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. Now notice this, God's saying there is a great army that's coming against you, coming against my land. And notice what he said concerning his land. He says that this army had barked the fig tree, or barked God's fig tree. Notice what he said, barked my fig tree. God is calling the land of Israel the fig tree. Now let's look at another scripture in Hosea. Hosea, the 9th chapter, verse 10. Notice what it says, I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time. Notice what it calls Israel. It calls Israel once again the fig tree. So back over there to Matthew the 24th chapter. So you can look in the Word of God, and the Word of God will tell you and interpret for you the things that it speaks about. We just have to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So back there it says in verse 32 of chapter 24, now learn a parable of the fig tree. Who is the fig tree? Well, the fig tree here is symbolic of the nation of Israel. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. So he's going to take them back to a couple of days before, 24 to 48 hours before, when he cursed the fig tree because of its unfruitfulness, and it was going to be cursed for the age, for that dispensation. And then he begins to talk about something else. When his branch, when Israel's branch, when the fig tree's branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. Now, let's look at a scripture because we need to find out what it's talking about when it's talking about summer. Well, you can find that out by looking in Daniel chapter 2, verse 35. Verse 35 says, then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. Now you can find out, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about it, but when the Bible talks about summer prophetically and symbolically, the Bible is talking about the time of judgment. Now the threshing floor in the summertime was known as a judgment time because the grain and the chaff were thrown up into the air and the wind blew away the chaff and the grain fell back to the earth. And so there was a judgment against that which was bad and it was blown away and that which was good remained. Well, when the Bible speaks of the summer in prophetic terms, it is speaking of judgment is going to come. Notice what it says again. Now learn a parable of the fig tree or from the fig tree. Learn its lesson. When his branch, when the fig tree puts on tender branches, when it puts forth leaves, you know that judgment is coming. Well, we're going to pick up there next week as we discuss Israel and what Jesus' prophecies said concerning Israel were. But we want to make a few announcements before we go off of the air today.